Amen. Amen. Welcome back. Today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and we will be glad in it. Welcome to the month of November, and we are glad that you're here watching the service with us today. We thank God for today. We give God all the praise. I'm just going to start quickly by welcoming all those who were born in the month of November. We're just going to pray for those who were born in the month of November. It's a new month. It's the 11th month of the year. I just want us to just say a quick word of prayer. Father Lord, we thank you for your children. We thank you for everyone who is celebrating their birthday in the month of November. We thank you, Lord, for life, because it is you that has made us to be able to see yet another month, yet another year again. We give you all the praise. Father, accept our thanks in Jesus' name. We pray for everyone born in the month of November. We pray, O Lord, for a special gift for them. It's the 11th month of the year. Lord, we ask, Lord, for a special blessing for them in the name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, that even in this season, that you show them mercy. Even in this season, Lord, that they will see your blessings afresh in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. Amen. Welcome to service once again. Today is the first day of November, and the theme for the month is faith for a new season. Faith for a new season. And the subtitle is Faith for the Impossible. I want you to just watch, and sit down and listen to the word that is going to come today. I pray that in the name of Jesus, that is going to birth faith in your hearts, and something new, like that seed that is going to be sown today, would bring forth fruit in your life in the name of Jesus. I'm just going to hand over to my dear brother, Uncle Ezekwe, today as we get ready for today's service.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Damola. Good to be here with us. Such an awesome privilege to be bringing us the word. And without further ado, I'd like us to take a prayer and go straight into the word. Our Father, our Lord, we thank you for today. We give you all the glory and all the praise. We thank you for this is that day that you have made, that we will rejoice and be glad. Father, I ask, O God, that the entrance of your word will give light to every heart, will illuminate our paths, and will turn us back to you. Father, we thank you. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Like we all know, or for those of you joining us for the first time, this is November, and while we were praying the back end of last year, December, to be precise, God gave us a word. And the word God gave us was faith for a new season, faith for a new season, and faith for the impossible. Praise God. And today, I just want to take us straight into the word. And I pray that the word will bless you as God has been blessing me and dealing with me in the closet. I want us to turn very quickly to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 6. 2 Kings, chapter number 6, and verse 24. Sorry, I've got my Bible here. So once my head is down and I'm not being distracted, I'm just reading the scripture with you. And I hope you'll read with me today. It's gonna be a mixture of teaching and preaching, and exposing, expository. So we're gonna read a few scriptures. I hope that is fine with us. Second Kings chapter number 6 and verse 24. And it came to pass after this, that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria. Yesterday, we heard the Prime Minister's announcement that England is going into another lockdown for a month. Other countries, France is going into lockdown. So many other countries are going into lockdown. Everybody, the whole world is grappling with the COVID-19 pandemic. People don't know what to do. Jobs have gone. People have lost their businesses. A huge rise in mental health cases. A lot of stress, a lot of pressure on all the systems of the world, on individuals, on families, a lot of pressure. The churches have closed down and have been told to go online and worship online. And you begin to wonder, this is interesting. The Bible said, and it came to pass. I would show us what came to pass. But we see a situation where Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, or if you have another translation, it says king of Aram, gathered all his army and went up and besieged Samaria. Samaria was the capital of the northern kingdom after the Israel was divided into two, the northern and the southern kingdom. The southern kingdom had the capital in Jerusalem, that's Judah, and the northern kingdom had its capital in Samaria. So these are the people of God. These are God's own people who he had redeemed, he had called out. The Bible says that the king, Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, came and besieged Samaria. You might be wondering, what does that word besiege mean? Besiege is a strategy in warfare where you encamp around about a city. You attack a city, and rather than attacking it, you put your army to surround the city. What does that mean? It means there is no trade, there is no travel, like we've seen. In this our present time, you see a parallel. It would amaze you. There's no travel. Travel has been banned. No trade. You can't go out. You can't come in. There is hyperinflation, as we'll go into it. But let us read on. So this king besieged Samaria, and there was a great famine in Samaria. And behold, I'm reading 2 Kings. If you're joining us, 2 Kings chapter number 6 from verse 24. Verse 25, and there was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 4 score pieces of silver. I'll be switching translation just to make it a lot easier for you to follow. So I'll be switching from the King James version to the NIV to the New American Standard. And there was a great famine in the city. And the siege lasted so long that a donkey's head sold for 8 shekels of silver and a quarter of a cup of seed pods for 5 shekels. You need to understand what is happening here. The people began to spend a day's wage, a day's pay, just to buy a donkey's head. Not the full donkey, the head of a donkey. And when people began to eat the head of a donkey, you knew things had gotten so bad. Is that not what is happening in our world today? Where there's hyperinflation, there are job losses. But let's read on. And as the king of Israel was passing by on the wall, a woman cried out to him, "Help me, my lord, the king." The king replied, "If the Lord does not help you, where can I get help for you? From the threshing floor? From the wine press?" Then he asked her, "What's the matter?" She answered, "This woman said to me, 'Give up your son so we may eat him today, and tomorrow we will eat my son.' So we cooked my son and ate him." Terrible situation. "The next day I said to her, 'Give up your son so that we may eat him.' But she had hidden him. When the king heard the woman's words, he tore his robes as he went along the wall, and the people looked and saw that under his robes, he had sackcloth on his body. A terrible situation. The rich was also crying. The king was also wearing, on the outside, he looked as if everything's okay, but on the inside, he was a shadow of himself. He was gone. He was wearing sackcloth. Is that not, please, I want you to follow me, because this, that you see a parallel to what is happening in our world today. When the king heard the woman's words, yeah, he tore his clothes. And like I said, they found out that he had sackcloth under. Verse 31 says, he said, may God deal with me, be it ever so severely, if the head of Elisha, son of Shaphat, remains on his shoulders today. And you're beginning to wonder, what has Elisha got to do with this? Now Elisha was sitting in his house, and the elders were sitting with him. The king sent a messenger ahead. But before he arrived, Elisha said to the elders, don't you see how this murderer is sending someone to cut off my head? Look, when the messenger comes, shut the door and hold it shut against him. Is not the sound of his master's footsteps behind him? While he was still talking to them, the messenger came down to him. The king said, this disaster is from the Lord. Why should I wait for the Lord any longer? Amen. COVID-19 has attacked all the cities of the world, besieged cities, things that we're familiar with, things that were normal, things that were, you know, everyday life has been turned upside down. There's massive hardship, economic hardship, hyperinflation, job losses, a ban on travel, lack of trade, import and export, mental health crisis, no tourism, massive pressure on resources. And this is the state we find ourselves in. Very uncomfortable situation. If we can be honest with ourselves, that we are in a deep crisis. Governments don't know what to do. They give us one tier today, tomorrow they give us another tier, not knowing what to do. Politicians are making it up as they go along. The situation is terrible. And we begin to wonder what is happening. And I said to us when we started in verse 24, the Bible said, and it came to pass. You see, you read certain things in scripture and you can easily miss it. You can easily just read it and what came to pass. But I have seen this before in scriptures. And let me show you. Everything that happened, the woman killing her, women killing their children, anarchy, cannibalism in the land. People eating, nobody, everyone wants to safeguard themselves. Everyone wants to be safe. That no one cares about any other person. People are complaining. People are mourning. People are, everyone is under stress. And I have seen this before. Can I take you where I've seen this? Let us go to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. You will just follow me. You see a parallel. Verse 20. The Lord will send on you curses and confusion and rebuke in everything you put your hand to do until you are destroyed and come to sudden ruin because of the evil you have done in forsaking him. Mark that. The Lord will plague you with the diseases until he has destroyed you from the land you are entering to possess. The Lord will strike you with wasting disease, with fever and inflammation, signs and very, you know, symptoms of COVID-19, with scorching heat and drought, with blight and mildew, which will plague you until you perish. The sky over you will, the sky over your head will be bronze, the ground beneath you iron. The Lord will turn the rain of your country into dust and powder, and it will come down from the skies until you are destroyed. Jump 27. The Lord will afflict you with the boils of Egypt and with tumors, festering sores and the itch from which you cannot be cured. Verse 28. The Lord will afflict you with madness, blindness, and confusion of mind. Like I said to us, there's a huge rise in mental health cases. The Bible said the Lord will afflict you with madness. Let me jump because of our time. Verse 45. All these curses will come on you. They will pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed, because you did not obey the Lord your God and observe the commands and decrees he gave you. They will be a sign and a wonder to you and your descendants forever. Because, mark this, you did not serve the Lord your God with joyful and you did not serve the Lord your God joyfully and gladly in the time of prosperity. Therefore, in hunger and thirst, in nakedness and dire poverty, you will serve the enemies the Lord sends against you. He will put an iron yoke on your neck until he has destroyed you. Verse 49. The Lord will bring a nation against you from far away, from the ends of the earth, like an eagle swooping down, a nation whose language you will not understand. Again, remember, we're looking at 2 Kings 6, and we're looking at Deuteronomy and seeing what came to pass. So what came to pass were things God have already spoken ahead of time. Okay, so a nation have come against this people. Listen, verse 50, a fierce-looking nation without respect for the old or pity for the young. 51, they will devour the young of your livestock and the crops of your land until you are destroyed. They will leave you no grain, new wine, or olive oil, nor any calves of your herd, or lambs of your flock until you are ruined. They will lay siege. Remember siege, they besieged Samaria. They will lay siege to all the cities throughout your land until the high fortified walls in which you trust fall down. They will besiege all the cities throughout the land the Lord your God is giving you. Because of the suffering your enemy will inflict on you during the siege, listen, you will eat the fruit of the womb. The flesh of sons and daughters the Lord your God has given you. We see the woman eating and cooking her own child to eat. Even the most gentle and sensitive man among you will have no compassion on his brother or the wife he loves, or his surviving children. And he will not give to one of them any of the flesh of his children. So when people start eating their own children, they will not even share. It will be all he has left because of the suffering your enemy will inflict on you during the siege of all your cities. The most gentle and sensitive woman among you, so sensitive and gentle that she will not venture to touch the ground with the sole of her foot, will begrudge the husband she loves and her own son or daughter. The afterbirth from her womb and the children she bears, for in dire need she intends to eat them secretly because of the suffering your enemy will inflict on you during the siege of your cities. If you do not carefully follow all the words of his law, which is written in his book, and do not revere his glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God, the Lord will send fearful plagues on you and your descendants, harsh and prolonged disasters, and severe and lingering illnesses. He will bring on you all the diseases of Egypt that you dreaded, and they will cling to you. The Lord will also bring on you every kind of sickness and disaster not recorded in this book of the law until you are destroyed. You who were as numerous as the stars in the sky will be left but few in number, because you did not obey the Lord your God. Just as it pleased the Lord to make you prosper and increase in number, so it will please him to ruin and destroy you. You will be uprooted from the land you're entering to possess. So you read this, and then you read 2 Kings chapter number 6, and you see the Lord fulfilling that which he spoke against his own people. God spoke to us in December last year, and told us to lock the door. He said, I'm going to do a new thing. In the book of Isaiah chapter number 43, I went back and read it, and the new thing he said he was going to do was actually disaster. Because if you read from verse 1, it says, when you go through the water, it will not overflow you. If you go through the fire, it meant he was sending disaster upon the nations to judge the gods of the land. And we see this happen in the book of 2 Kings. COVID-19 is killing more people at a faster rate than anyone ever imagined. The economy is crumbled. The economy is gone. People have lost their livelihoods. And if you read the book I want you to turn to the book of Psalm chapter number 60. Psalm chapter 60. Reading from verse 1 to 4. Like I said, we're just going to be reading scriptures because the challenge is that when we don't read, when we don't search the scriptures, we pray amiss, we do so many things amiss. Bible says in the book of Psalm chapter 60, O God, thou hast cast us off. Thou hast scattered us. You know, the church, everybody's worshiping from home. Thou hast been displeased. O turn thyself to us again. Thou hast made the earth to tremble. You have broken it. Heal the breaches thereof, and for it is shaken. You have shown your people desperate times. You have given us wine that makes us stagger. But for those who fear you, you have raised a banner to be unfurled against the bow. Friends, we live in difficult times. And what did the people do in 2 Kings? They went to the king. A lot of us are going to governments to try and find a solution to the problem facing the world today. The king said, I do not have any help to offer you. The king himself was wearing sackcloth. Boris Johnson got COVID. Donald Trump got COVID. No one is immune. Pilots are working in Tesco, stacking shelves. Did anyone ever imagine it? You turn on the news every day, job losses. And the worst thing that the people could have done was go to the king to try and find help. They said, help me, my lord, the king. A huge mistake. No wonder the Bible says in the book of Psalm chapter 146, verse 3, don't put your trust in princes, in mortal man who cannot save. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 2, verse 22, put no more trust in man who has only the breath in his nostril. Of what account is he? Isaiah chapter number 31, verse 3, but the Egyptians are men, not God. Their horses are flesh, not spirit. When the Lord stretches out his hand, the helper will stumble, and the one he helps will fall. Both will perish together. Where are you looking? Where are you running to for help? Where are you going? What are you doing? Are you going back to the Lord, or are you running helter-skelter? People have turned to eating their own children. destroying their families because of the siege. And you see this again happen in the book of Revelation chapter number 6. If you read Revelation chapter 6, reading, you read about the four horsemen. And one of the horsemen was, the white, the red, the black, and the pale. We talked about sword, the sword, famine, wild beast, and plague. You see that also in the book of Ezekiel chapter 14. If you read from verse 12 to 21, you see when God wants to judge a people, when God wants to judge a people for their sins, what he does is sends these four horse riders. I want to ask you today, are you still in the ark? God told us about the ark in December and said, go into the ark. Disaster is coming. And if you read the book of Hebrews, the Bible says, and Noah feared for what was coming, and he started building the ark. By faith, he feared. He heard the word of God. He heard the calamity that God was bringing. We think it's over. I don't think so. And by faith. And to see this month, we're talking about faith for a new season. Faith for the impossible. Without faith, the Bible says it's impossible to please God. Faith is not just, yeah, believe and claim it. No, faith is not pressuring God for what you want. That is not what faith is. Faith is hearing the word of God and acting in line and in accordance to the instruction to the word of God. That is what faith is. Bible says, by faith we understand. By faith we understand that God has a reason to judge the earth. Bible says in the book of Matthew chapter 24, Jesus was speaking about the end. That a time is coming when there was going to be famine, plagues, pestilence all over the world. This is the beginning of sorrows. And we see it in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28. The people forgot God. Let me ask you, have you forgotten God? Have you started helping yourself? Have you started trusting in the arm of flesh? Have you started trusting in the horses and the riders of Egypt? Have you put your confidence in your job? You put your confidence in your mortgage. You put your confidence in your pension. You put your confidence in life. You put your confidence in government. They will fail. Haven't they failed? They put their confidence in the NHS. The NHS is overwhelmed. Faith for a new season. God is saying, run into the ark. There's no name given under heaven whereby any man shall be saved except the name of Jesus. This siege is not going to end today. This siege will not end tomorrow. And God, he who sees ahead of time, the one who is judging the earth, the righteous judge, said judgment will start from the household of faith. We now preach a gospel that doesn't offend anybody. When the Bible says this gospel is a root of offense, said if you're afraid to tell them, if you're afraid to confront the people with their sins, I will do to you that which I have promised to do to the people. We no longer tell people the truth. Because Bible says in the last days, perilous times will arise. Difficult times will arise. And you read the book of Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 27. Three things the Lord talks about there. The stubbornness of his people. The wickedness of his people. And their sins. There's no point in us talking about faith for a new season. Or even a new season if you do not make it through the flood. Forget about a new season if you can't make it through the flood, if you do not last and survive the flood. Bible said, and he gave these horsemen power to kill a quarter of the world. Friend, it was God who gave them power to kill. Are you going to make it through the pandemic? Are you going to come out of the pandemic alive? They ran to the government for help. They ran to themselves for help. And what was God saying? God was saying, you're forsaking me. You've left my instruction. You've left my place. You're not serving me joyfully. You're not serving me gladly. All I hear is complain. All I hear is, you know, us using faith for what we can get to consume it on our own lust. No more faith for righteousness. No more faith for holiness. You know, we complain about injustices. We complain about the things happening in the world. We fight. We do everything, but we have left our first love. We say we are serving God, but we are living in sin. The gospel we preach, the gospel we say we live, we're just living for our own self and selfish reasons. The Lord is no longer the Lord of our lives. We still do what we want to do. We are stubborn in our ways. And if we continue reading 2 Kings chapter 6, what happened? The Lord in his mercy shows us that the people started blaming God. They started blaming God rather than reflect on their lives and say, Lord, where have we missed it? Lord, what is it that I'm doing? What is it that you are putting your finger on in my life that you need me to change? Remember when Noah was in the ark, people were dying outside. And the only thing that kept him was the grace and mercy of Christ in that ark. People were dying. People were drowning outside. It didn't matter their nationality. It didn't matter their status in the society. Anyone who did not obey and follow the instruction of God and get into the ark died. A new season is coming, friends. A new season for those who walk by faith and not by sight. A new season is coming for those who speak the truth, no matter how painful it is. A new season is coming for those who are resilient and hold on to God tenaciously and say, I will not leave you until my change comes. A new season is coming when there will be no tears. Faith for that new season. Bible says, and God called Abraham to leave his family, leave his relatives to a city whose maker and builder was God. And he left everything, despised the shame, left the past. We want to be born again. We want to be saved, but still hold on to the past. Still hold on to sin. There's no difference between us and the world. Psalm chapter 60 said, God has scattered us because we have not speaking the truth to the people. We receive bribes from the same people who oppress. We do not preach the truth to them. We tell children, you can do whatever you want. It's a free world. It's a free country. We tell people, you can do whatever you want with your body. It's your fundamental human right. And we think there are no consequences. When the Lord has said that your body is the temple of the Most High, we put people under bondage so that we can have a good offering on Sunday. We're afraid of telling people the truth because we don't want the number in the church to diminish. The number of people that are unrepentant, unsaved. People who have never been to the cross. The Bible says if you hate your brother, you have never known Christ at any time. A church full of hatred. Tribalistic church. A nationalistic church. We have become party people. We are now Democrats and Republicans. We are now conservative and Labour. We are no longer believers who speak the truth, even if it hurts. We are protesting. People are traveling far and wide to protest. They have never told their neighbor that Jesus is Lord and sin will destroy. Hypocrites, we are. God is saying there's a new season coming. And only those who make it through the flood will enter that new season. They started blaming God and blaming Elisha. The king wanted to kill Elisha. Why? We blame God. We fight God. We have no resilience. Any small thing, we just tell God off. But God in his mercy, Elisha interceded. God is calling us back to the place of intercession. But you cannot intercede for people you have not told the truth to. We can't pray for a nation, for revival in our nation, when we have not confronted this nation with their sins. There's no repentance without first us acknowledging that we have erred. The people didn't acknowledge. But God in his mercy spoke a word. In 2 Kings chapter 7, the Bible says, verse 1, and Elisha replied, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says. Faith for a new season starts with the word God is saying. What is God saying to you? About this time tomorrow, things are going to change. The finest flour will sell for a shekel and 2 seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. The officer on whose arm the king was leaning said to the man of God, look, even if the Lord should open the floodgates of heaven, of the heavens, could this happen? Sin makes us not believe God. Sin makes it impossible for us to trust God, to put our confidence in whatever the Lord says. And we read the story of the 4 lepers. Because once the word of God goes forth, it activates things in the spirit, whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not, whether you believe in tomorrow or not, there's going to be a night today and there's going to be morning tomorrow. And the 4 lepers went and something happened. The Lord had caused the army of Samaria, the Arameans, to hear a sound and they ran and they scattered. Because of our time, the lepers went and they saw food and they went and got food and took food and they came back and said, why do we do this? They went and told the king, the people at the gate, and they doubted them. But at the end of the day, everyone went. And the man who didn't believe God, the servant that said, can God do this, died. I used to read that story and go like, wow, the powerful word of God, the siege ended. COVID-19 would end by the mercy of God. But that is not what struck me as I bring this message to a close. What struck me was that the lepers that found the food, the people, when the siege ended, their leprosy didn't end. The siege ended. There was food. Everything went back to normal. But the leprosy, the sin nature, what was killing and killing them from inside was still in them. Faith for the new season, faith for the impossible starts with us going back to the Lord to deal with the sin nature, with the unbelief in our hearts, with the religiosity in our system. The church opens, we come back. But has God dealt with the leprosy in our hearts? Leprous people became rich. Leprous people had so much wealth, gold, food, but there was still leprosy in their heart. Have you not read that before in the book of Revelation chapter 3? Where it says, you think you are rich, but you are poor and wretched. Buy of me the real gold. I'm not here to excite you. I'm not here to tell you, preach a faith, you know, believe it and receive it. It's going to be well with you. The Bible said there's no peace for the wicked. Don't say to somebody, it shall be well with them, Bible says, lest you incur the wrath of God. Don't say to a wicked man, it shall be well with him. You're in church, you're listening to this, but you have not been saved. You have not repented from your sins. I tell you, there's a sword, there's judgment. I want us to pray this morning. Wherever you are, I want you to just reflect on your life. I want you to talk to God. I want you to repent of your sins. I want you to repent of your sins. God said in Deuteronomy 28, some worse diseases that are not even written in the book will come upon you. Friends, faith for a new season is faith to run into the ark, to run to the cross. Bible says there's a second death. There's a second death for those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I can preach you happy, preach you good, but I'm not doing you any favor. God is calling us to repentance as a church, as a people. Father, thank you for your word today. I give you praise, I give you all the glory. Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus that you deal with every leprosy that's eating us from inside. Lord, the leprosy that you healed the man, those 10 lepers. And one came back and thanked you, and Father, he was made whole. Father, a lot of us are not thankful. A lot of us are not serving you gladly and joyfully. A lot of us see our problems as bigger than you. But Lord, I ask for mercy. I ask to heal and deal with every leprosy. We are troubled on our side, but we're not perplexed. Lord, we are troubled, but it's nothing compared to the joy that you set before us. Lord, I pray that our eyes will be focused on eternity. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this new season. Thank you for the impossible. Thank you for the things you are doing in us. Father, be thou glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so very much. I hand back to my brother Damola.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. We thank God for the word of life. Thank you for using you, Uncle Lazy, to bless us today. Just a quick recap on some of the things. I mean, faith is obedience to the word of God. Faith is obedience to the instructions of God. And also I picked up there that even after this siege, after this pandemic, I should ensure that I do not remain a leprous person. It's not about the wealth that we gain from whatever is going on, or maybe they say during a downturn, people become rich. But what's the essence of being rich when you're still very leprous? Thank you so much. I pray that God will bless you and God would make his word to come afresh upon you every time. His anointing will be upon your head in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're going to continue with service, and we're going to be taking the offerings. The details for the offering is going to be shown on the chat section of the Facebook Live. And please give. I want you to just bless the work that that God is doing through the Love Assembly Ministry. And I want you to just give as God has, as you've proposed in your heart and as God has instructed you to. Also, I just want to remind you that on Thursday, we're going to be having our communion and healing service. It promises to be a time where you'll be blessed. It's a time where we come together as a family to break the bread, to remember Christ who died for our sins on the cross of Calvary. So I just want you to just remember that. It's going to be at 7 o'clock on Thursdays. And then I'm just going to pass on to the technical team who's going to quickly show us a video concerning this very last announcement. Thank you.